Okay, hey kids, I got a quiz for you. I think you remember it from the last time. Solve this puzzle. If you recognize it, let's see who can. I might not even have to show you all the clues. If you know the answer to this puzzle, it's one word. Okay, I'll give you one more. You know what it is, Addie? Well, no. We got to put all these to give one big Bible word. Does anybody remember it? Okay. I see Hannah. Hannah, what is it, Hannah? Shout it out, Jesse, for her. What is not yet? Has she got it yet? No. I bet you everybody will have it now. What's that spell? Iniquity. All right. So it. Yeah. Okay. All right. Is it that hard? This is an old sermon. I'm just giving a review, guys. Last time we did this before Christmas, we looked at iniquity. All we like have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and here comes the word, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And what are we like? All we are like, You remember? Are we like, that's Isaiah 53:6, are we like horses? Are we like elephants? Are we like dogs?
No.
What are we like?
Sheep.
Aha. All right. There you got it. All we like sheep is what the Word of God says in Isaiah 53:6, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We might look nice and fuzzy and cuddly and lovable on the outside, but on the inside, you and I want to do things our way. We don't want to do what mom and dad says to us, and basically we don't want to do what God says. And so Scripture says, we are like sheep, have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. And the reason we have difficulties with our friends at school, the reason we have difficulties with our neighbors and at workplace are often can pull down because I want to do it James's way. I'm a sheep who wants to do it my way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, and that was laying this iniquity, this wanting to do things my own way, on him who is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And we looked at that the last time. Now, I want you to keep that in mind, okay? That picture that all we are like what? Okay, keep that in mind. Today's focus is Psalm 55:22. And Roberto and I didn't get together. This is a God thing, you know. They've been doing this with the kids' church, and this is where we're going to go to. It's a very simple verse, but it's one of the most difficult ones that you and I, in our Christian life, need to continually work at and applying the Word of God. I think you'll catch us on pretty quick, moms and dads. Psalm 55:22. Let's all read that together, okay? One, two, three.
Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved.
So in order to understand this verse, we've got to get a hold of at least these two words, cast and burden. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you, and he will never permit the righteous to be moved. Now, cast. Do you know what the word cast means? When I was 8 years old, I broke my left arm just like this young girl, and it was a double fracture, and I had to wear a cast. Well, that's not what the Bible's talking about. That's a noun, okay? That's a thing. But we're going to talk about the verb. What does it mean to cast? And Uncle Roberto is using the, you know, okay. The Bible says a lot about casting, and one of the things it talks about is casting stones. And they would cast stones at different times that they weren't happy times. You'll see stories about casting stones in the Bible. You also see stories about casting nets, fishermen casting their nets. Perhaps you've even seen that or done that. How many have gone fishing with a net? Not with a fishing pole, but with a net. So, wow, we got a few guys who've fished with nets. And so casting nets to catch fish, and remember Jesus told his disciples, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, you know. And you gotta use nets. You don't just use, well, sometimes we use a pole and a line, but you gotta use nets most of the time. Okay. Casting crowns in Revelation, the book of Revelation, where the Bible ends, the last book, it speaks of these 24 elders around the throne of God, and where the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Lamb of God is seated, and there they cast down their crowns before his feet. That's in the book of Revelation. But today's theme is not about casting stones, nets, or crowns, but how do we cast our burdens on the Lord? What does that look like? Well, burdens. I like this pickup truck. I don't know if it's for sale in Hong Kong, but there's some burdens. And usually when I think of burdens, I think of animals of burden, a beast of burden, you know, these oxen. They got a nice wagon here with Goodyear tires or something, Michelin tires, I don't know what. But anyway, they're pulling this wagon. They got a burden in, and it looks like sacks of food or grain, something to deal with farming. Just in another part of the world, what kind of animals here, boys and girls? What do you see? What is it, camels? I'm sorry. Camels? There's another one?
Donkeys.
And donkeys. Have anybody ridden camels or donkeys? Oh, we got some good travelers here. And so camels and donkeys and oxen, these are beasts of burden. They're pulling these big heavy loads of it looks like grain to me. I don't know what's in these sacks. Something in these sacks that weigh a lot, which you and I don't want to carry by ourselves, but the animals help us out. Now, this is an unusual burden-bearing animal. I haven't seen this before. This is a rare photo. You ready? What do you see there? That's a sheep. That just doesn't look right, does it? You go and Google and see how many sheep and wagons you come up with. Often it's an artist's conception of something sweet, of these Easter blessings, and it has this little sheep carrying a wagon with a big Easter egg on it. But you Google and you search, you're not going to find sheep being used to bear burdens. What are we like, guys? Okay. One of my favorite burden-bearing books, if you haven't read this to your kid, mom and dad, go out and buy it, okay? Go online, get a copy of this thing. It's called Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. It's not a recent book, no, it was written in 1678. But it tells us of how Pilgrim, the main character, is he's first called Graceless, then he gets the name Christian. And Christian makes his way from the world which is to the world that is to come. And John Bunyan wrote this allegory, and again, in the 1600s. A mom and dad, boys and girls, you and I are on a journey. And some ways to call that journey is a pilgrim, okay? And we're making a progress from DB to where are we going? We're going to heaven. And to a new heaven and a new earth. This is where you and I are going, and we're going get there, not on flying United or Cathay, but we're flying by the grace of God. And that's how we're getting there. And there's a lot of things that are going to happen in your life and my life, and has already happened in my life and perhaps in yours, that are not pleasant. It's very hard and difficult. But God says, I'm going to get you there. Well, you can read about Pilgrim's Progress in a great way, great story. And if you haven't done that yet, Mom and Dad, please think of investing in a copy of Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. And one of this guy's Christian. He's, I think he's Graceless at this time. He's got this great big bundle on his back, this burden. Okay? That's what's going on with him. But then when he comes to the foot of the cross, which he calls the place of deliverance, the burden falls away. If I remember right, in Pilgrim's Progress, then he's given a suit of armor and he goes out and he goes on his conquests. to make it through life until he gets to the celestial city. Not celestial mansion, but celestial city. Okay. There's a building here called Celestial Mansion. The Grace of God in an Allegorical Form by John Bunyan. But I want to ask you, mom and dad, boys and girls, what's on your back? I got a backpack here, and I thought maybe it'd be kind of neat if we just kept putting some big, heavy things in there, and you know, you get weight over. Maybe next time I'll get a volunteer to help me. But what's on your back? What are your burdens? You're not carrying sacks of rice. You're not carrying. What is it? What is it that's on your heart that troubles you? That seems heavy in your life? Well, Scripture outlines different sorts of burdens, but here is one of them, and that is hard work. Remember the Lord Jesus' invitation, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Some of you are working very, very hard in your employment. Some of you pilots, I don't know how you keep up with your schedule. Some others of you who travel so frequently and in and out and all over places in the world, and I wonder, how in the world do you sustain your health? It's nothing when we learned, when we first came to Hong Kong about 30 years ago, to hear of our Chinese friends of how hard they go to work. You know, they're in the office till 7:30 and sometimes 11 o'clock at night, and that's regular. And they'll do this 6 days a week. Thankfully, most of my friends that I knew of would take Sunday off. But some of you are just worn out from work. And you need to bring that work burden and those work challenges to the Lord. Kids, how's your homework? Discovery College is a piece of cake, right? They don't put too much on you, right? Right, yeah. Nope. Pam says no. What's these projects? They have these, what do they call them?
Personal projects.
Personal projects. I put mine off to the last minute, and I know then I would crack as a kid. But your kids, I don't know. Do you have a lot of pressure on you from your work? Perhaps you have ballet. You have maybe football, which I can't imagine being hard. But you may feel pressured, whatever you're trying to go in your extracurricular activities, and you also have to do your homework, and it just seems like you never have a chance just to play and relax. And you can't tell mom and dad about it. Because you don't want to hurt them. But Jesus says to you, and he says to me, big person, little person, come to me, all you labor and so heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that whole passage introduces the whole coming theme of Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. And so how, and I'm in the midst of work, I can't change careers, my career is pressing, whether it's the medical field, whether it's aviation industry, whether it's dealing with business, whatever you can think of, banking, financial matters, whatever, and you've got all that stress that you've got to deal with, but daily, you need to bring that stress to the Lord. As soon as it begins to feel heavy, bring it to Him. So what's on your back? Some of you have got these hard work burdens. And you need to surrender that. Some of your projects and deadlines, you need to surrender that to the Lord. Iniquities, again, it's referred to as burdens. Psalm 38:4, if you have a Bible, you can flip through and read this. But it says, "For my iniquities have gone over my head." There's that word again, my iniquities have gone over my head. In other words, I got this, not this little backpack with a couple of books in it. No, I got this great big burden of iniquities on my back. Like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. In other words, you keep doing it your way and not doing your life with God. Not surrendering your desires to God, where He makes your desires pure and holy. you're going to find all this weight of sin and trouble on your back because you've insisted to do life your way and not in the way that you were made and created. Not the way that I was made and created is to do what? Is to walk hand in hand with my Lord. So again, if you know in your own heart and on your own back, if you will, these iniquities, you know how heavy they can become. Boys and girls, have you ever done anything that your parents told you not to do? Perhaps maybe one time, huh? How do you feel after that? I mean, that's the heaviness of heart I'm getting at. You know, if mom and dad said, please turn off your lights at 11, you got to get up tomorrow morning at 6. But then you stay up and you play on the computer until 2 a.m. or something. Boys and girls, probably not. Teenagers, yeah. You know where I'm coming from, right? And your parents have told you over and over again, don't do that. And then finally you get a cold and you start to come down with the flu and you're feeling bad. You just burnt the candle at both ends. You've used all your energy resources doing computer in the evening. You don't have any sleep. And so you break down. And then you also might feel guilty if your parents tell you. By the way, I just wanted to share that if your kids are having a hard time hanging in here during this service, we do have a nursery that's open in the back for you to hang out. But we're trying to make this not burdensome on you as a family, all right? So I appreciate Danny and Liz. Feel free to go in and out. So you guys feel free to go in and out, too. Our kids don't leave at once, all right? Hang in there. All right, iniquities. Okay, what else might be about? Legalism. Now, this is a burden. And Jesus says, you know, these Pharisee dudes, they tell you how to do and be Christian, and they lay all these things on you, but they don't even lift a finger to help you with this great big burden they put on your back. And that basically says you must perform, you must do certain things in order for God to love you. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. That is what we call legalism. No, we as Christians don't do things so God loves us. No, we do things, why? Because we know He loves us. And all our life of obedience, and we cherish His commands, is because we know who He is. He has opened our eyes to show us that this is God in the flesh, who's come to heaven, to come to earth, who died for me, rose and went to heaven, as we confessed earlier, and He's going to come again to judge the living and the dead. We know this is the truth, and so we live our lives out of thanksgiving, not to get Him to love us. And it's very easy, as us Christians, thinking, well, I've got to do, how can I be blessed today if I don't have my quiet time? Can you imagine God blessing anybody who didn't have a quiet time? I can. You want me to tell you how your life can be more joyful in the Lord? By having quiet times. Grasping His grace daily in a very private way, in that private closet, and He will reward you in secret. Better than a McDonald's milkshake. It's better than anything life has to afford. Persecution. In 2 Corinthians 8, Paul says, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the afflictions we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death." I hope you're not feeling that way, those of you who have relocated to Asia to work. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. They were persecuted, they were beaten, they were chased. Danger was everywhere for these apostles. Now, I do not want to be, I thank God that I'm not living in northern Nigeria right now. Quite frankly, I would raise a Christian army movement against the Boko Haram. If you read this past week, they came into a boarding school and just shot all these kids, 28-year-olds, 28 teenagers. We don't have a boarding school at D.C., but you can imagine we had a boarding school at D.C., and these guys come in, they shoot them. Why? Because they're not Islam. They're going through a Western education system. What do you do when you're persecuted? Oh, these are very, very, very heavy burdens, and you lay them on the Lord. And Paul and his gang experience resurrection power. The death sentence on them, but they're freed and they're saved from their enemies. Some of you have the privilege of working with our Chinese brothers and other people in different lands who have received severe persecution. We continue to pray, Lord, have mercy on John Short and Kenneth Bai in North Korea. But these are names that are before us because they have a Western connection. But how many people no one knows about them who suffered, like those 28 kids who were killed. Nobody knows them. Persecution can be on your back. These are heavy burdens. Temptations, we all face them. Tempted to cheat at school. Tempted to steal something in a store. As you get older, I know, boys and girls, you'll be tempted to take things which your parents says never use, you know, like from smoking a cigarette to drinking alcoholic beverages before you're of legal age, of smoking marijuana. These temptations are all around us. And adults, we have our own share, and I don't have to list those to you. Whether it deals with material idols, lust, anger, we all know those things are out there. But in Galatians 6, 1 through 5, what I like about that passage, and I put that up there for you to look at, is that, you know, you and I as individuals have burdens, and sometimes we see that those in our community of faith, they don't do well around temptation in certain areas. And what are we to do? To judge them? To church them? Say, no, we don't do that. What we do is we help them bear their burdens. We help them with their fight against temptation. Galatians 6 says, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So we help each other out with this burden of temptation. For if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. So we help our neighbors bear loads, but we have to bear our own load. So if you're having a problem, boys and girls or young people, with a certain temptation error, talk to your moms and dads. Let them know. Be truthful with them. And I guarantee you, your mom and dad are not going to judge you. They love you. They care for you. And they're right beside you to help you bear that burden. Likewise, adults, if you're having some issues in your life and heart, and I hope there's people and friends you'll meet in this church you can trust and pray with, and some sort of a mutual accountability can help from that. And we in our small groups and our women's groups and men's groups, we have that kind of thing emerging, and it's good to see the Holy Spirit work that where we have a sense of trust and can share and help bear burdens. Anxieties. 1 Peter 5:7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. And verse 7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. There's that casting word again. These are some of the burdens that's on your back, that's on my back. So we think, that looks like planet Earth on his back, I think. Yeah. But where is he standing? So it can't be. We might feel our world is on our back. Our family, our employment, our health, the health of my friends, the health of my extended family, the finances. Everything's back here on me, and I'm feeling like the world is on my back. That is the way you and I too often go about life. And if you remember the sheep, it's just not natural, guys. Sheep were not made to be wagon pullers. We're not made to be beasts of burden. You and I are not to be a people who bear these burdens. Now, we have trials, we have temptations, and we have sufferings in this life. But what are we going to do with it? That's up to you. That's up to me. It's up to you, boys and girls. What are you going to do with it? We're going to cast our burdens on the Lord, and He's going to sustain us. And He will never permit the righteous to be moved. The promise is He will sustain you, and He will not permit you, the righteous, to be moved. Okay, we're on our journey from the world that is to the world that is to come. We're going to have these burdens, these different things are going to be hitting on us, but you and I have this precious promise that God's going to sustain us as we cast our burdens on Him. But you see how He describes us? What are we called? He's not referring to us as sheep here. What's He calling us? In the white letters, boys and girls, can you read that last white letter ones? What's that say? The righteous. It's very important you get a hold of this, the righteous, okay? Because His promise isn't for the unrighteous. His promise is for the righteous. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, we are told, "For our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." So when we celebrate, in just a few minutes, the Lord's table, we're celebrating Jesus, who knew no sin, becoming sin, so that I can become the righteousness of God, so that you can become the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God that comes through faith alone. In other words, this promise from Psalm 55, 22, "I will sustain you, and you, the righteous, will not be moved as you cast your burdens on Me." Okay. So we're believing in somebody we haven't seen. It's by faith. We don't see it. We didn't see Jesus. Approximately 2,014 years ago, He walked this planet. He was crucified, and He rose again from the dead. And He says, "He's coming again," and we believe that. And we believe that he died for all my mistakes, where I do not love people, where I do not love God. He died for all that. And then He said, "You know what, James? I'm going to make you a righteous person. I'm going to make you a man who loves God, a man who loves other people. And you're going to become more and more like Me, by My Spirit living in you. And you know, I'm going to let you go on this little journey, and you're going to get these burdens, but you cast those burdens on Me, you keep casting those burdens on Me, and I'm going to sustain you, and one day you're going to stand before the Father, and I'm going to say, 'Welcome, because you're the righteous one through faith in Christ.'" Now the hard bit is to cast your burden on the Lord. You want to keep it on your back? Go ahead. It's not happy. Monday morning, I cast all these burdens on the Lord. I was going over this verse and really reflecting, meditating. I cast all the burdens I could think of about how I relate to my wife, how I relate to my children, financial, health, all the burdens I could think of, DBICC, ministries, people, like some of you are having some very severe trials, and putting all those, you know, just everything I could think of. Okay. It wasn't about a couple hours later, I have a conversation which ended up putting me back in the corner where I had to cast another burden. on the Lord. This casting burden thing is not something that you do and I do in one event. Now, when I come to faith in Christ, that's one thing. But what we're talking about now, this living with Psalm 55, verse 22, we want to apply that to our hearts and live it out. We got to keep casting. And so before we come to the table today, I don't want us to make a mockery of God's word. I want you in your hearts, boys and girls, dads and moms, adult people, please be serious before your Maker. Bow before Him and cast your burdens on Him. So let's just take a time of quiet and we'll pray. Boys and girls, men and women, your Lord is my Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He knows how hard you're working, either at school or in the workplace. Perhaps you're a homemaker, a mother of small ones. He knows your work. And I'm just wondering, are there any work situations, school situations, that you feel that they're burdens? Please, please cast them on the Lord now. Are there any iniquities, sins, transgressions that you know that are you're just sick of it? And you want to stop and you want to experience God's victory and deliverance from certain sins? Talk to Him about it, whether it's dealing with anger, lust, greed, pride. In your heart before the Lord, would you just ask Him to shine His light to see, are you trying to earn His love, or are you rejoicing in His love by being obedient? Perhaps some of you are being made fun of because of your love for Jesus, whether in the school place, school environment, or at work, and you're feeling like you're so crushed, you want to be friends with people, and they just ignore you, and they don't want to be your friends because you're a Christian. I have no idea if this thing's happening to you. But if so, give Him your burdens. Were you tempted to lie? Were you tempted to grumble? Or you're tempted not to give thanks, give these burdens to the Lord. Anything that you're anxious about, anything, please cast these on your Lord, our Lord. Father, it's hard for me to imagine that You, the Maker of the universe, You, the Sustainer of life, You who are the Savior of all throughout all of history and are making us into a people of Your very own who are eager to do Your will. We thank You that in all of that greatness and glory and magnificence, You want to be so personal with us that we can bring our moment-by-moment anxieties. What we're going to do this afternoon, who we're going to be with, what we're going to do this week, where we got to go to, the meetings and the schedules and everything. We just lay it at Your feet and knowing that we can cast burdens on You because You care for us. Thank You for the big picture. You're taking us from this world to the world that's to come. as we hold tightly to the grace in you, our Lord and Savior. And so we thank you for this sacrament of bread and wine, and we thank you for bringing us to your table to celebrate this great truth that we have an almighty God who saves, and we're happy today. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, boys and girls, for being so attentive. I know it's hard to hang in there with all of us adults sometimes. But if I could ask the elders to come, and we're going to move on and continue to worship the Lord in communion. In scriptures, we are warned that we can come under God's judgment if we take of these elements in an improper way. In other words, we just don't play with this. This is a very special time, and that's why we often refer to it as a sacrament, a sacred activity. It's, some people use the word ordinance. What ordinarily should be done by Christians is celebrating what Christ has done for us on the cross. And Christ gave us this. But he says we can partake of it in a unworthy manner. Now, the Corinthians seemed to look down their noses on those who had little and looked up to those who had a lot. Now, we represent a various economical spectrum within us, but there's only one level playing field. We are all sinners who need the mercy of God. And so if you agree to that, if you have believed that, yes, Jesus died for my sins, my transgressions, my iniquities, all the ways in which I did not love God, and all the ways in which I've not loved people because I've been so self-centered and selfish, I believe Jesus died for that. And you know what? I believe that all of his righteousness, his holiness, his goodness, his love for other people, his never-ending love for God the Father, all of that is mine through faith. That righteousness is mine through faith. You know what I'm talking about. If you know Jesus and he's your personal Lord and Savior, we welcome you to this table. You do not have to be a member of this church. If you think there's more than just one way to God other than Jesus Christ, no, that's an unworthy manner. Please don't come. Just think about what we're doing. We're celebrating the body of Christ given for us and his blood shed for us. On the night that Christ was betrayed, he took the bread, scriptures tell us, and he broke it. Having given thanks, he broke it, and he told them, his disciples, "This is my body given for you. Likewise," he took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. This is the blood of the new covenant for the remissions of sins." How do you get rid of sin? There's got to be an atonement. There's got to be a covering. And it's this new covenant. It's the blood of the Lamb. This is what he was saying. "This is my blood of the new covenant. And every time you eat and every time you drink, this is in remembrance of me until I come again." We proclaim his death. Christ died for you. He died for me. One last prayer, that the Lord search your heart, prepare your heart, and then I invite you, please come and celebrate with us the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, have your way in our hearts. If there's any sins we need to confess now, may we do so. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. You said, "Do this in remembrance of you." And so, Holy Spirit, help me, help my friends remember you, to understand that you are the Lamb of God who takes away all our sins and the sins of the world. And so we eat and drink in remembrance of you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Just if you're newcomers, just to give you some sort of instructions, we come down on your right, and we serve the elements. We distribute them down here, and we ask you partake here. Take your time. You don't have to rush back to your seat. But after you get the elements, you can partake them over to my right, and then make your way up on your left and back to your seats. If you're new and kind of wondering how it works, just follow everybody else. Most of the people, I think, know how this happens. We'll have two lines up front, and you can go on either side.